Tuning in to another episode of Fire and Flare. I'm your host, Adriana Egan. It's been a while, but I'm always happy to have a recording session and record an episode. I'm enjoying this week off of work. It was much needed. So happy holidays and happy new year to everyone right now. By the time this episode comes out, it will be the new year, but I'm happy to end the year on a good note with this episode. And I have my dear friend, Lisa Lustig, with me today. So this episode is kind of going to be, there's two topics that I had in mind. It's going to be more just good vibes, fun, and laid back. But we met earlier this year through work, actually. And Elisa is just one of those people that she's an extrovert. So I always get adopted by extroverts. And so I just remember her reaching out to me, and we both shared a background of working in leasing. And then we got to meet in person at the company offsite in March, and we just hit it off. And she's just one of those people that is really great at networking, so warm and gets people together. And she's just a really great friend. And so I have her here with me today. So I'll go ahead and let you say hi.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Adriana, for having me on this podcast. I really appreciate it. I'm very excited to dig into all these topics you have for me today.
Awesome. Yes, I'm so happy to have you on. And I said this to Elisa before we started recording, but she's the first person that actually wasn't nervous like everyone else. And I totally get it. Like, I was so entirely nervous the first time I went to record an episode. I didn't know if I could do it. I was panicking. It's gotten easier, but a lot of people are nervous and they're always like, I need a drink before. And Elisa was like, nope, we're just gonna do this. Let's roll with it. Like, not nervous at all. So,
I grabbed a cherry Coca-Cola instead of an alcoholic beverage for this podcast.
We are both sober Sallys over here, but yeah, it's going to be great. So, super excited. And, and so to kind of go into our first topic here, something that that has been a really big focus for me the last couple of years that I think anyone can relate to is confidence. And I think that Elisa is someone who embodies and exudes natural confidence. And I think that's one, why I was drawn to her, and two, just what makes her personality so like magnetic and bubbly and warm. And I love that about you. And it's something that I've struggled with, and I think we've had this conversation. But I don't know, I guess I wanted to ask you, like, what to you is confident, or like what has made you be able to like naturally have that?
I think honestly, it goes kind of back to childhood and like what kind of environment that you grow up in. But it also has to do with what type of activities were you placed in growing up. You know, was it, for me, it was being involved in Girl Scouts, being involved in youth groups, being, you know, having to put yourself out there on the spot and not really having a choice of doing it. My entire life, I kind of just was a glass half full person and really just saw the best out of any situation. Whereas a lot of people nowadays are starting to look at more of the glass empty look out on life. And I think that really makes a negative mindset when you go into anything, whether it's work-related, friendships, relationships, parents. And I think when it comes down to it, you really just have to like move past that and look beyond it. And I think that's really just what I do on a normal day.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And I mean, granted, I've only known you for a little under a year, but I think that you relate to each other in a lot of ways and you're very strong. Like this year has been exceptionally challenging for you. And I really commend you on your ability to just like be able to move through every obstacle. And like you said, see the best, even when you feel like everything's against you. Like, I honestly don't know how you're doing it, but sometimes in the moment, you don't realize that you are doing it and that you're strong until you look back and you're going to be like, wow, I can't believe I got through that. But like knowing you, you're going to be able to. And again, I think a lot of that has to do with like your confidence and the way that you're just naturally able to move through that. And so it's interesting how you mentioned like being a part of groups growing up and Girl Scouts. So you said your parents kind of just pushed you into that. Like it wasn't.
Yeah. And also, believe it or not, I actually used to be the most nervous person ever. I actually used to get sick and have to like run off stage and take a second and, you know, relax and take a moment. And I feel like those moments is what got me here today. And, you know, I'm actually one to always ask questions like, what's your zodiac sign? You know, when were you born? Does it like, what is related to you and see if there's actually common interests. And I think that's another big thing in our generation nowadays is based on what other people are experiencing. I feel like there's a lot of generational differences nowadays and how we think and how other people think, move, you know, in different situations. But yeah, I actually used to be so nervous to the point where I was sweating, you know, getting sick. And I think I look back on those moments and I'm like, wow, I actually can do it. And I think another thing about myself is that I'm a very resilient human being. I think that resilience is a huge term and there's many different things underneath that umbrella. And for me, it's like, who do I have in my life currently at this moment that I can reach out to that will let me become that resilient person? Who can I reach out to have a conversation, to text, you know, to pick up the phone and know that they'll call me back if they don't answer. And that is how I become resilient and looking past, you know, hardships and moments that have been really tough for me, especially during this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, having a support system is always super important. Like those main people, you know, you can reach out to and will always be there. It's definitely helpful and everyone needs that. Like it's great to rely on yourself and be strong and resilient, but you know, having that support from others is definitely needed. Nobody can do it on their own in this world. You just can't. And it's interesting because your big three, so your rising sun and moon, you're a Pisces sun, Cancer rising,
Scorpio. And my moon is Scorpio.
I like usually can remember people's three, which is so interesting to me because you're all water signs, and you have every single one. Like,
yeah,
it's just you have a variety of each, but you're all water, and water is very like emotional and deep and motherly. And I think you're naturally like empathic and a caretaker. Like when I visited you in Austin, like I literally felt like I got the royal treatment because you were just so like accommodating and doting and just a good friend. And like, really, I really appreciate that. And like, I guess having all three of those water signs, like, do you feel that is you? Like, you're just so motherly, full of emotion, like always wanting to take care of others. And maybe I think having all those water signs does give you like some of that resiliency too.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that me having the main three water signs in my zodiac, I think, yes. Am I emotional? 100%. I think that all three of them are totally me. But I think one of the things that I forget about is focusing on myself. I think that because I have such a motherly attribute to other people, I, you know, make sure everyone else is okay before myself, that sometimes I forget about me and focusing on how I feel in the moment. And I think that not a lot of people do that. You know, I think a lot of people are always focused inwards on themselves rather than looking out. And I think I'm complete opposite. And sometimes that's a burden too. You know, I think that with having that emotional side, is it great to like be there? Is it great to have that motherly thing? 100%. But the bad part of it is when I get too much into it and then I lose myself and what I can do for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot of, I think it's the quality a lot of women face because we are just naturally empathic. Mothers just have that caretaker role and it's all about balance. It's about being able to be empathetic and be there for other people and support them, but like you said, not losing yourself in it. And that's also something that I've really had to come to terms with these last couple years. But the more you're aware of it and the more you like establish boundaries, it does get easier. But yeah, I think like, I guess when I met you, like even at the offsite, I just saw it. Like, I think also with you being extroverted, like I notice a big quality in extroverts is they are the gatherers of people. They're the ones that take charge and lead. And like, I'm the opposite of that, where I kind of will like fall back and let someone else take the lead. And I have more one-on-one relationships as opposed to getting a big group together, because that overwhelms me. I'm always worried, are these two people going to like each other? Are they going to get along? How's this going to work out? You know? But like, I've seen, I guess, like, just knowing like as many extroverts as I do, like I see that to be like a common quality. Like at the offsite, like you're like, okay, everyone, like get in this Uber. Like you're just like a gatherer essentially. And I thought that was really cool and something that I kind of like wish to embody at some point. And so, like, would you agree with that too, that you're just a natural kind of leader and like you take charge and you take the initiative and do all that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. But I also think it takes a lot for someone to like do that, because in the back of my mind, whether, you know, I'm being honest about it now, but like I'll take charge. And then sometimes I'll second guess like, okay, what do other people think about me becoming that person who's taking charge? Do they think I'm being rude or, you know, overstepping something where they wish that they had taken charge instead? And sometimes I don't want to be that person. Sometimes I have to like take that step back and be that individual to see what other people are doing as well, versus me, you know, as human nature, as we're hunters and gatherers. And I definitely am that type of person. I definitely hunt and I gather the best friends and bring them together, whether, and I do that in a sense where it's like, you know, when you came to visit me in Austin, I knew that you would get along with XYZ people. So I knew it wouldn't be a problem with you being introduced to them. Whereas like, if I had other friends, I wouldn't bring them into certain situations or social settings. One, because I knew they wouldn't get along, but also what would be the impact of my friendship with other people? And I think really you have to think about those things and what those outcomes are.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And again, it all goes back to balance. And I think that you're someone who does a pretty good job of both. Like you're trying to consider the impact it has like overall on everyone else, but also just being that initiator and bringing people together, because we need that, you know. Like I said, I want to work more on like being that person. And I've started to, like, I am throwing a birthday party for myself this year, which I don't think I've really ever done in my life, to be honest. Like I had family parties growing up that my mom would, you know, she'd do everything, but I always just kind of did something small on my birthday. And I was like, I've never had like really any sort of event where I've had like multiples of my friends together. And it's because of this fear of like, not so much how's everyone going to get along, but just, I don't know how to explain it. Like I always have like the one-off friendships as opposed to just like a main group of friends that I've had. So I'm always concerned about like how you said, how's everyone going to interact? Like, am I going to have a good night? Am I going to have to be accommodating to other people? Like, that's one thing I think why I don't take the lead a lot is because I don't want to have to accommodate others all the time. It's exhausting. In the moments where I have hosted and tried to have people together, it's like you do lose yourself in just trying to make everyone else comfortable and not being able to enjoy yourself. And I feel like I saw that sometimes with you. It was like you couldn't even enjoy yourself because you were just so worried about like everyone else and if they were comfortable.
Yeah. And that's true. I think that's another thing about being a gatherer and like being motherly and making sure everyone gets along. But yeah, I think overall it's really good to be that type of person. I think more people need to, you know, take, you know, advantage or ask questions on how to do it or change their personality, or, you know, even if they didn't want to change anything, just still, you know, be interested in being more polite to people or having those motherly interactions with people and gather. But you also have to understand too that like my whole life I've moved. Okay, so I moved around from state to state. I'm back in Phoenix, Arizona now, but I was originally born here and I lived here for 10 years. So you have to understand that I grew up with a certain group of girlfriends, whether it was through the Girl Scouts that I was in. But then I moved to Virginia, and then I met more people in my middle school. And then in high school, I lived in Cleveland, Ohio. Then for 6 years, I lived in Austin. And if you look, I find different pockets of people. So it's not necessarily that I have groups of girlfriends, like where I'll see, like, for example, my sister, she has a very specific set of girlfriends, one from high school and one from college. And she goes to them for various things. Whereas for me, I'm the type of person who likes to float and have friendships in different parts of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's different for me. I have friends that are in Europe. I have friends that are, you know, in Israel. I have friends that are in all across the United States in different pockets. And I know who I can go to for different scenarios and gather them when I go and visit in different areas or they come to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I think you're someone you can obviously make friends anywhere you go, and you just kind of go with the flow, bring people together. Like, it's kind of all over, which is good. It's dimensional and dynamic in that way. And I think that, so like my big three, I'm a Scorpio rising, Capricorn sun, Virgo moon. So I'm water, earth, earth. And water and earth typically can feed well into each other. And I think that's why we get along so well. And I don't know what it was in Austin, like, we would just laugh. Like, it would be the simplest thing, and we both would just laugh. Like, that deep belly ache, like, man, the endorphins are really running through my body right now, which was just wonderful. Like, I wish I could see you in person again to have that, because it was like just so needed, so refreshing to my soul. I think we have the same, like,
it had nothing to do with us. It had nothing to do with us going out and you being so sick that next day, where it was so traumatizing to you. And all we could do was laugh about it the next day. And it's going to be a memory that lives on forever. And oh gosh.
Okay. Had to take an intermission, because like I said, we were having issues with the Zoom link. Don't know what's going on, but we go with the flow, right? So something else that I'm going to take note of and try to follow your lead on, because you do very well at that. And then kind of going back to the confidence thing. So like I said, I think it's something that you naturally possess. You take lead, and it just has been a good, like, example of something I want to follow. Like, you've been inspirational for me in that way. And I think it's hard for women to be naturally confident. Like, I feel like we have so much working against us these days, and social media has added so much fuel to that fire. So it's just, again, it's really inspirational and refreshing to see someone who just, and you know, the thing is, we all have our insecurities, we all have things that we worry about, but like, I just feel like you just are able to really be your authentic self and not apologize for it. Like, and so the example that I want to bring up is when we had that dinner at, what was that place called?
I don't know, but they have peacocks at their restaurant. Yeah. And I didn't get to see them.
Was it Maddie's or something?
Yes, Maddie's restaurant, okay. Austin, Texas.
Well, that was an interesting dinner.
Oh my God.
I was still recovering from my hangover. And then we ended up meeting with someone who you used to be friends with, but I don't think anymore. And then she had a date and he brought a friend. So it was the five of us. And it kind of was not the original, in the original plan to meet up, but that's who was able to come to dinner. So Elisa was her natural, like, bring everyone together, funny self, made the whole table laugh, was the entertainment, super humorous. And your friend at that point, I had started getting a weird vibe from her. And I had brought this up to you before, just because I didn't feel, it's something I can't explain anymore. Like, it's like, you either get a vibe or you don't. And like, you feel it, like you said something about it at the grocery store. And I feel like I'm someone who, I really try to, I guess, reassure my friends and be positive. So I'll tell them, no, like, you're fine. Like, it's not what you think, like, it'll be okay. But it's like, your intuition's there for a reason. And like, I was kind of feeling the same thing, but like, I didn't know this girl. She was your friend. I didn't want to say anything. I just felt a weird energy in the sense of like some insecurity on her end. And just not super friendly, like almost like a competitive, I think I'm better than you. Like, when she walked in, she didn't say hi to me or her date's friend, and like she had met him before, and I could tell he was taken aback by it. Like it was just really bizarre. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, I'm not going to take it personally. Her date, I don't even remember what his name was just such like a, what's the word that you could use to describe him?
Douchebag.
Yeah. Well, you could tell he was just such a basic bro douchebag. She met off a dating app, but just very flat, boring, like no personality, nothing, whatever. Now his friend, on the other hand, I actually
like. Was his name Chris?
Oh yeah, I think like the date, right? Her date. His, yeah, I think you're right. And then he brought a friend who is kind of bizarre to me too. Now that I'm looking back on it, like the things he would say, I'm like, was it sarcasm? Were you kidding? Like, it's just I don't know. Like, but I thought he was really, really cute. Like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh my god, like this man is just so. But like, yeah, he was very attractive. And you know, it's funny because a lot of people, like, I get this question at least once a week, like, what's going on in your dating life? Are you talking to anybody? No, there's nothing. There's no one. And part of that, like, I purposely am putting it on a shelf for many reasons. But how this all ties together is essentially like, I guess what I wanted to take away from that dinner is like something I didn't realize that I notice I do, like, especially in terms of dating, like confidence is something that I've really just been trying to work on in general, but I feel it the worst in dating. And so like this guy who, again, I don't even remember his name and I don't want to say it just because I don't like to say people's names, but like, I obviously found him very attractive. And like, I'm someone who like, I tend to get very nervous in front of people who I guess I take an interest in. Like, it's like I immediately like go into my shell. And I remember you asking me like in the car on the way home, you're like, were you okay? Like, did you have a good time tonight? You're like, cause you seemed a little quiet or something. And like, it's like, you knew right away, like you picked up on it. And I was like, yeah, I had a great time. I said, but I was too worried about like how I looked and like became self-conscious. Cause like he actually was sitting right across from me at the table too. And so it's like, I immediately like dimmed my light, went into my shell. Like I couldn't be like my natural self. And I know that that continues to work against me in a lot of ways. It's gotten better, but I feel it the worst in my dating life. And I don't know how to, I guess, move past it. And so seeing you like at the table, you were just like funny and yourself and you didn't care. And like, I don't know, it just makes me want to like embody that, I guess, moving forward.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for all those kind hearted words. But I guess it comes down to like, this is something that I can't teach.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is something that I can give examples of or be there for someone to let me explain a situation, or if someone asks questions, I'm able to answer them. But I guess it's like so hard to even say this. It's like, it just comes so naturally to me. And I think it's because I just like have this mentality of like, I don't give a fuck. And I think it comes down to if that guy, you know, I'm not single, but if I was, and I wanted someone to notice me that I thought was attractive, I think that you have, if they don't care, and they don't want to pursue, you need to let it go. Mm-hmm. It's the I don't give a fuck moment. And I basically live life off that. If you don't want to, and that goes with friendships too. Like if you don't like something about me and you can't, you know, get over that or whatever. And I think that's what people's problems are, is that they are so fixated on what did I do wrong in that situation. And fuck, I should have done X, Y, Z and go back in that situation and it would have been better. But we can't think like that. We can't dwell on topics like that. We have to just move forward. And I think for this situation at this dinner, Adriana, you are such a full of life, humbled body person, and you do shed light. But I think when situations like this, you overthink what other people are going to think about you, because one, you don't know them very well. So you automatically think, what are they going to say about me? And first of all, they have no right to even make a judgment on you because they don't know you. So even if someone did say something or in that moment or even later, I would have said, that's not your right to say that. And it's not your, you know, you can't say that about someone when you barely even got to know them or ask questions. And that's where that I don't give a fuck comes into. Who cares about the girl that I'm not friends with anymore? There's a reason why I'm not.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I'm friends with you and still, and I love you dearly. And there's a reason why I'm not friends with this person anymore, mm-hmm. because of her not caring about what other people think. It's only about her and yeah. not anyone else.
Exactly. And that's what I said to you. Like, I just got a very like self-centered vibe, and even like her interactions with me kind of took me aback a little bit. I felt were almost mm-hmm. abrasive. Especially when people like touch me that I don't know, like, yeah, a little like tap on the arm or like a hug is fine. But like, I don't know. It's all in the body language. It's all in the vibes and the intentions. And that I just wasn't getting like any of that wasn't positive coming from her. And it's unfortunate that you're right, but your instincts picked up on something. And it's like, I talk about this all the time, like leaning into your intuition. And I absolutely overthink 100%. Like, you nailed it right on the head. And I feel like you're someone who's able to like explain how I'm feeling. And that's very like difficult. Because a lot of people, like, they don't get me. They just don't. Like, I feel like there's very few people that can truly, I guess, like understand me and explain the feelings that I have. And so like, I appreciate the fact that you're able to do that. And like, you hit it right on the head. A lot of it comes down to me caring too much and overthinking and just dimming my light when I don't even know that I do that. Like, I remember there was a point where I wanted to bring up the fact that I had a podcast. And a lot of times I don't, because I'm always worried about being too much or feeling like I don't want to be that person that's self-promoting, that's obnoxious, that's like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, again, it all comes back to balance. And I think that that's not my intentions. That's not who I am. That's never who I will be. So it's okay to talk about my podcast and like be excited about it and share it. And I don't know, it was weird. It was just a very like clarifying moment, I guess, that dinner.
And I agree, but think about it this way. We're now in December, right? I saw you in March. That was 9 months ago. So if you think about it, you're still fixating on the situation, which means you're still embodying a ball of energy that you could be using it on something that means way more to you in your personal life. That they don't even remember you. They don't even know you. I'm not even friends with them. And like, that is my point. Like, that energy you could be focusing on and using it. You're going to be, you know, going into your late 20s. It's your last year being in your 20s. You got to focus on you, rein in the new year, figure out all the things that you were proud of this year and let that go. 9 months is way too long to be caring about something so small. No,
the dinner was in September, not March.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, you're right. September. I'm talking about things like, I'm in California. We dealt with things that related to like being, you know, a leader and things like that. And that's 9 months ago, but September coming to visit me. You're right. Cause it was Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
Labor Day.
No, I'm not more so like fixating on it. Like, I bring it up as examples to one, just show like ways in which I commend you for just being your authentic self and what I want to exude more of, and where I know like it was a clarifying moment for me on what I need to move forward. Yeah, that's in the past. Like, mm-hmm. doesn't matter anymore. We're never going to see those people again. It more so again was just a way for me to understand what I want to change going forward.
Yeah. And it came to realization about like that small part of it. And that's great that you recognize it. I think that it's great that we as humans self-recognize things. I feel like if we don't do it, then we block everything out.
Yeah.
And I think that in that moment you did realize, because I'll be honest, I feel everything. That's the one negative thing about being a Pisces and like feeling all the water signs, is not only do I feel my own emotions, but I feel everybody else's. Yeah. I can like go into a room and I can feel that something's wrong or energy and I have to leave a room, and it's like so powerful.
It is. It's a gift. Like, honestly, like everyone has an intuition. I think it naturally comes to more people easily than others. And you're one of them, especially having all those water signs. So don't lose that, like lean into it, because it's going to really be like your best friend. It's going to help you navigate so many situations and know who's a friend, who's not, who has good energy. Like, I definitely have gotten better at it as I've gotten older, but yeah, you definitely have that gift. Like, I saw that for sure. But anyways, so I briefly wanted to touch on confidence. I think I'll probably have another episode at some point that really dives into like the nitty gritty of it, but that was kind of a little opener for me. And the reason I brought it up again is because you're somebody that just exudes it naturally. So I applaud you. But anyways, we're going to switch over to kind of more lighthearted topics. So this is essentially just things that we find underrated and overrated. I have like a list of things we can just like, you know, pop ideas off each other. But that's another thing that like we really, I feel like, had in common that I loved was we loved all the same things, like all the same products, all the same foods. We're all about quality. Like you're someone that really, I feel like, knows quality. Like if I needed a recommendation on something, like I would probably come to you. Cause I just feel like you'd recommend the best thing. So
it comes down to research. I'm constantly like, when it comes down to brands, I'm always researching, and all these people are on TikTok and, oh, I found a dupe. And yeah, you can find a dupe, but like, is it worth it? Is it the quality, or are you going to buy it constantly?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I actually just came across, cause I still am not on actual TikTok, but I watch the reels, and I just came across this account where literally she just finds dupes that are supposedly very identical to like the main product. And so I guess we'll start with makeup. I definitely am not trying to be an influencer. I'm not an influencer. This is a normal person. I have like literally no loss or gain by recommending any products or talking about them, but I feel again, the average person, it's helpful to just like get these recommendations, and you're a great person to do it with. So we'll start with makeup. I just bought all the Charlotte Tilbury, like the contour wand, the highlighter wand, and the blush wand, because absolutely loved how it looked when you put it on me. And that I feel is actually worth the money. It's expensive, 100%. But I feel like it's worth it.
Yeah. I have already bought my second bronzing contour stick. I have the blush one, but I do actually go back and forth with blush. I go back and forth with NARS Orgasm Liquid Blush too.
Almost bought that.
And it's amazing. And I bought, see, the thing is, it's so liquidy that what I have to do is shake it, because it's oil-based, right? There's a lot of oils in liquid makeup for it to stick and show what and define on your face. And so with it coming down to the NARS Orgasm Liquid Blush, I actually bought a hard one of the blush.
Okay.
And I also have a concentrated one too that I use for a highlighter. They're all great products, but it also just depends on like, what are you looking for? Because I feel like Charlotte Tilbury's blush is more of like a peachy, like,
yeah,
peachy blush, whereas like NARS is more of like that pink, rosy red blush. Yeah. You have to kind of, it depends on what you're, great products, both of them. I love them. I'd probably give them a 10 out of 10.
So because I literally like was deciding like what liquid blush I wanted to get. And I put the NARS one on my hand, and it was just very like beautiful. It sat on the skin well. I like almost bought it, but I went with the Charlotte Tilbury instead. But it's so funny that you have it, because again, we're very in sync on like the products and the quality. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I have to say, you know what is overrated is the Rare Beauty blush and highlighter. Like
I was going to ask you about that, because I actually have it in my cart in Sephora currently, because a lot of people I watch, they say that they love it on like, maybe, I like watch influencers and very interesting. That
I think
you say
a lot
that,
of them are paid to like say that it's like this, this, and this, because it's like a brand new product. You know, the name behind it is Selena Gomez. So like, there's a lot of, I guess, traction and hype around it. I think if you were to get anything, try the blush, but like when I rubbed it onto my hand, it was very matte. I was like, how am I going to get this off my skin? Like, it didn't seem like a product that was going to be easy to get.
Like, it was like chalky almost.
Yeah. And the, like the color's good, but it's almost too much. You know, it's like,
I think it's because for me, I like something that's more loose. What I've come to find out is I like something that's more like oily base. And so I can set it with a powder. I'd rather have that so it lasts longer. And that's what I think Charlotte Tilbury and NARS both do.
Yeah. And I'm really trying to get a glowy look. So I don't know, for me, like especially the Rare Beauty highlighter, there's a lot of hype around that right now. I put it on my skin and it barely showed, even over foundation. Like, it just was not, I was like, how is everyone buying this? It sucks. And not to mention, so it was either that or the NARS foundation, because I put them on after I bought them and I ended up getting an allergic reaction under my eyes. So it was from one of those two products. And oh, it's like, gosh, it hasn't gone away. And I've put so much on it, like hydrocortisone cream, Aquaphor, like a moisturizer, like it's been taking a while to go away, but this didn't pop up until I put one of those two products on my face. So,
wow, that's crazy. Yeah. As far as that blush goes, happy you got it. The one thing, I haven't used the highlight for it yet.
It's trash.
I like the highlight that I use. I can, you know, if anyone wants to talk after this podcast, but I can give you some recommendations on the highlighters I use, but yeah, good. The bronzing stick, love it. I don't think I'll buy anything else, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have that now. Again, Rare Beauty, I think, is overrated. NARS foundation was also very, very difficult to get off. Like, I just didn't like the way it sat on my face. And then I did try the Milk Hydro Grip Primer because I feel like a lot of people say that's one of the best. And I will say, like, it's not bad, but I like a primer that's like a lot thinner and more like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, the grip was sticky. Like, I didn't feel good putting it on my face. Like, I want something that's more smooth and silky. So I don't know, like, what primer do you use?
So I do use that, but I think it, okay, I'm a full believer that makeup remembers skin. I am one to change my products every 3 to 6 months. I will be wearing a new foundation every 3 to 6 months. I don't really keep the same one on. It's the same thing with shampoo and conditioner. Your hair remembers everything. Skin remembers everything. And for me, I use the Hydro Grip, but my skin has remembered it so much. And also moving to Phoenix, Arizona, it's so dry here. So with the Hydro Grip, it dries my skin out so much that the foundation doesn't glide on my skin.
Exactly.
It's like really tacky. So yeah. I've been using, I have rosy cheeks and I'm not really a fan of them because sometimes they're so red that I'm kind of embarrassed to have them. That's a flaw of my own that I work on mentally, but I do use Smashbox. They have a green primer and it actually helps with course correcting the redness. Cause you know, if you look on a color wheel, green is the opposite of red.
Yeah.
So if you use green, it actually almost clears that redness. And it's silky, it's thin, it's beautiful. Smashbox also has a photo finish one that I think that people use as well, but I think they're also underrated. They used to be like that top brand Charlotte Tilbury until they came into the game. So that's that. But I also really, really want to buy the serum from Charlotte Tilbury as a primer, but it's so expensive. So it's like, you got to treat yourself for that one. But other than that, the primers are hard to come by, good ones.
I know. I kept hearing about the e.l.f. primers, like they're dupes compared to the expensive ones. I bought it. And I will say, so far, I think it'll do its job. I actually really liked the Fenty primer, but I refuse to buy any products from Rihanna or Lady Gaga and certain brands now. So I have to interject here for a moment on why I fell down.
I'm kind of intrigued because I think, isn't Lady Gaga the one that just came out with that new foundation?
Yeah. House. Yeah.
I love it. I will never change it.
I did hear
I'm obsessed with it.
I know. Well, you know, that's great. I'm glad she came out with a good product. Now here's what I'll, and I'm going to sound crazy saying this because I fell down a rabbit hole of conspiracy theories last week on Instagram. Like, I came across one video and then it spiraled. Like, literally, I'm talking hours upon hours. Like, I will never do this to myself again. It was so bad to the point where for the past week, I couldn't sleep. I was waking up with weird dreams. I had to sleep with my TV on. I had to sleep with the blinds wide open. Like, I live alone, right? And I can say up until this week, I've never once been afraid to go to bed. I sleep pitch black, like no noise, like just like a psycho. I even was able to sleep okay after watching the Jeffrey Dahmer series.
I was able to sleep after watching that. Those are fucked up.
Yeah, but like no problem at all. So tell me why I watch these conspiracy theories and I'm losing my goddamn mind. So part of it is because some of it had to do with like satanic rituals and like the devil and just really creepy stuff that like got into my head. And that's why I don't watch scary movies. Like anything involving the devil, I can't do it. I was shook it. It shakes me to my core. So let me just explain. I want to have an episode on conspiracy theories actually, because I find some of them so intriguing, but like
you should talk to Adam about that. Maybe he'll do a podcast because he will talk for hours on them. Oh my god,
I bet. I can literally already just sense like
that would be the best podcast I think ever.
Yeah. I have to ask, does he hate celebrities? Does he believe in the Illuminati? And like, yep. So that's essentially this rabbit hole that I fell down in, is like all these celebrities are connected. They're part of Illuminati. There is definitely a top secret 1% society that pulls all the puppet strings that we don't know about, but they're becoming more exposed over time. Like people are catching on to it. And like, even, did you watch like any of like the Jeffrey Epstein documentaries on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I watched those. And so they had this huge like sex trafficking ring essentially, where all these celebrities were visiting the island. Like other celebrities are entwined in this as well. Like it goes bigger, like beyond Jeffrey Epstein. Like he was the tip of the iceberg. And so what they're saying is there's not only like sex trafficking by these celebrities, but they literally will kidnap children and abuse them and use them in these satanic rituals for adrenochrome. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't. Elaborate.
Okay. So what they do is like when children are scared, their blood possesses like certain spiritual properties. And it like makes you live longer. And that's why celebrities don't age as much or they're able to live longer. I know it's very, very far-fetched. Like, I don't know how much of this I believe, but
I think Adam actually has spoken to me about this before.
I'm sure he has. So it's like, even if it's not real, just the thought that it could be like, really, I don't know how to explain it. I think because I am so spiritual, something about it just didn't sit well with me. And it had my wheels turning and it really scared me, because I'm like, how can we live in a world like this? You know what I mean? And like, there are just all these.
Well, like, what do you think the news is?
Oh, that's why I don't watch the news. Like, I don't.
The news is literally pulled. Even though we have different news stations, they're all owned by one company. Disney.
Yep.
Literally owns. There's a map of all these major corporations and businesses that literally, and consulting businesses, like even the people that we use, that you currently work with, they are a part of that.
Sure. In big pharma. Yeah. So yes. I'm not going to talk anymore because I don't want to get myself into hot water, but okay. So it's all connected. It's connected through our news, through our government, through the Hollywood celebrities, the 1%, like whatever. It's all connected. And so was the Jeffrey Epstein so have you heard of this new Balenciaga like scandal with the ad campaign they came out with? Pretty fucked.
Never should have been released.
Get this. So it ties into this whole adrenochrome, like whatever.
Yeah.
And it's really like just seeing all the proof there and how the dots connected, it just left me feeling so, I don't even know the word, just like creeped out, unsettled, like really, really bad, again, to the point where I could not sleep and was having bad dreams about it. And so like Rihanna and like Beyonce have been known to supposedly be a part of the Illuminati, same with Lady Gaga. Like, I won't buy their products anymore. And then it's interesting because so there's an umbrella of luxury brands. And so it's like Balenciaga, Yves Saint Laurent, Gucci, Bottega, like all of those fall under what's called the Karen Group. And supposedly it's very cultish. And it's all linked to whatever this hidden agenda is. And so for me now, I'm like, it sounds ridiculous, but I will never buy any of those brands. It makes me consider what other luxury brands could be a part of this. I won't buy Rihanna's products. I won't buy Lady Gaga. Like all those people, I'm like, nope, it's a no for me.
I'd probably buy Coco Chanel. She came up on a different story.
Yeah, I was gonna say something about Chanel really draws me in. Like, I have a fake Chanel bag, hopefully real one day, but I would
No,
like to know
Chanel
more about her story.
Chanel's story is completely different in how the upbringing of her became thing. But do you see the House of Gucci movie?
No, I want to though.
So yeah, so that's another thing. And Lady Gaga plays it, the main
Yes,
character.
that's what somebody.
So if you put those blocks together, I mean, what else is there to like? If people don't know about these topics that we're talking about right now, I highly recommend you go research it. Maybe not go down the rabbit hole like Adriana did,
Maybe not, or you'll have nightmares.
but I think that it's good for us to get informed. And I think throughout life, it kind of stems back to the childhood. How are you brought up? Now, these famous people are having children. How do you introduce the life that they're living or having kids or, you know, whatever? And like political parties are involved. And that's why I think things are so rigged. And that's another thing. Like before I met Adam, he was like, you look at life as like such a rainbow and sunshine type of thing, but there are way th more things beyond that that you can't see. And that's where his mind is corrupted because he did go down that rabbit hole. He did believe conspiracy theories. You know, that's a whole nother conversation. And maybe we can have a three-way podcast, but about those things.
That would
But
be fun.
yeah, I think it would be a crazy podcast, if to say the least, but it goes back to that. And yes, I agree with you. I'm not buying from those specific brands like Fenty and Lady Gaga. But again, it's for me, I didn't buy it because I bought it because of the quality of the brand,
Yeah, exactly.
not necessarily of like potentially thinking that they're a part of this conspiracy theory.
Right. And I'm not like gonna chastise anyone for buying it because I even considered myself, how far do I really want to go? And like, I guess protesting in my own way if I do like the quality of something. It's just more so for me, it's not gonna be my first pick, is what
Of
I'm
course.
saying. Like, because now it's so in the back of my head and the stupid Zoom
Yep.
timer's on. So we'll wrap this up in like 10 minutes, even though I really want to keep going, because
No,
that's
it's
what
okay.
happens with the podcast. It's like 2 hours later, you know, it goes by in 10 minutes.
Yeah,
But we'll definitely have to do another one and like also bring Adam in, because now I'm very curious. I want to pick his brain. And again,
oh, please do.
he and Tim, I've never met two people that are so similar, because Tim was the same way. He was like fucking Eeyore. Like, he just had the opposite of like the half glass full. And it's great to be a realist and to like see the real side of things, but it's like, if you are always living in that state, you will never find joy in anything. Like, how can you
100%.
live that way? Like, it's not fun. Like, I kind of almost have to choose to be ignorant to what I do know at this point. It's like, it's a double-edged sword, because it's like, on one end, I do know more, I'm more informed, I see the things in a different light, but I also don't want to fall into that darkness and be pessimistic.
Yeah.
So anyways, enough
But
about
it's
our
so good that you're thinking outside that box. Whereas, like, I feel like a lot of people, again, it goes back to generational differences that, like, we think one way because we were raised to think another way. And then once you start thinking out that box, people think you're crazy for having conversations like this. And that's another thing why I'm so happy to be friends with you is because we are able to have conversations like this and be like-minded. And even if I said something that you didn't agree on, I know that we would have that conversation without disrespect. And I feel like that's
Absolutely.
another thing about people in life that we come across is like if you were to say one bad thing, people shut you out. Just because they don't agree with you on one topic. Whereas like for me and Adam or you, we are able to talk about many things without, and like actually play devil's advocate and hear other
Yeah.
people's experiences or, you know, adopt what they're saying.
I mean, if you're just like that close-minded and uncultured that you can't have an intelligent conversation, then like that's a whole other problem that you need to sort out. So,
For their own selves.
yeah, exactly. But I guess we'll end this with just a couple other, I guess, things in my opinion that I find to be good quality and underrated. So I really like the Kush mascara that they sell at Sephora. It's like one of the only ones. Like, I have no eyelashes, so like I really enjoy that product. I love the CC or IT Cosmetics CC cream. That gives a really nice finish, so I recommend that. I really like the Anastasia eyebrow pencil. It's my favorite. I have not come across.
Anastasia.
I know, I was like, wait, Anastasia or Anastasia? So you can pronounce
Anastasia is
it.
the
You can pronounce it both ways, but I think for the beauty product, you're right. It's
Anastasia Beverly Hills.
Yes.
What product though? What were you talking about?
You're right. Anastasia Beverly Hills. The eyebrow pencil. Love it.
Oh yeah, everyone. That's like what they're known for. Oh my God. That's how their company was created.
It's my favorite.
And to go back to the Kush mascara, I don't know if you know this and why it's called Kush, but they actually use oil from
CBD or hemp. CBD
and hemp to help the natural cells and organisms produce your eyelashes without hurting them, because there is some mascara that are, you know, they hurt your eyelashes here. But other than I like Kush, I like the brush of it. I like how thick it puts on. You don't need a lot. You don't need to like do this. Exactly. Also, a tip and trick for anyone listening for mascara, do not take the cap and push it down and in and out
like multiple
times. You will put bacteria into your thing and it will dry out sooner and you'll have to buy more. Literally swish it around, pull it out, and put it on your lashes. Do not do that. Do not do that. Okay.
You literally, your face when you saw me do that, you were just like, you're not supposed to do that, right? What are you doing?
Yeah, I was like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay. Again, I'll have to keep that in the back of my mind. Also, okay, Abercrombie's jeans are super expensive, but my God, they are the only jeans that I can find that actually fit my body. Like, I cannot find jeans anywhere else. Like, it's so bad. They don't make them for my body type. Like, only I've been able to find.
We have an outlet here.
Ooh, lucky. Lucky girl.
Literally 20 minutes from either. I was literally just there 2 weeks ago. They have a Lululemon outlet next to an Abercrombie outlet next to an Express outlet. And those are literally my three wardrobes.
That's hilarious, but so dangerous.
Oh my God, it's awful, but good.
You're going to need some self-control with that one.
I didn't know that.
Let's see, what else do I have on my list? Okay, some things that I find are to be overrated. The Barefoot Dreams blanket. It's not worth $100 at all.
I don't even know what blanket you're talking about.
All the like Instagram influencers and bloggers talk about it. They have a Walmart dupe, which is probably better than the actual thing, but this Barefoot Dreams blanket.
$100?
It's not worth the money at all. Home Chef meals, so much sodium, like almost 1,000 milligrams of sodium, even in like the healthy ones. So
our body naturally makes sodium. We don't need extra.
No. And then I'm conflicted on the Dyson Airwrap and Spanx leggings. Those are in my middle category because I don't know.
Well, for someone who owns a Dyson, what is your opinion?
Okay, I will say the actual hair dryer I absolutely love. Like, it gives a really nice non-fizzy. Yeah, like it's really healthy on your hair because it doesn't produce as much heat as other products. So the only thing I'm disappointed with is like the curling wands, because they just don't stay. Like, maybe it's my hair, but I've tried them on extensions. Like, they looked really good on your hair and the curl stayed, but it didn't on mine. So
actually, I don't even have my extensions in my hair right now. And I've been dying to get an air wrapper. Did you see Shark Vacuum came out with a dupe?
Oh, they did.
Yeah. It's like less than $200 and you can get it. And there are people who are out there on the TikTok, Instagram reel comparing them. And there are people saying that the dupe for the Dyson hair wrap that Shark came out with is a lot better and holds curls more. So now people don't have to spend $500 to $700 on a Dyson.
I don't think it's worth the money, especially if the Shark one's better. And I like Shark vacuums. Like, I remember my mom had
them. They're amazing. Amazing. But also, Dyson came out with a vacuum just like Shark. Like, they both have like the small stand and everything.
Interesting. I don't know. I would say if you have the money, the Dyson could be worth it, but like, don't break your bank over it. And then the Spanx leggings.
I've heard good things. They came out. I don't know. Have you heard about her story and like how she became big?
I don't think so. I know she's been on a lot of talk shows and like been promoted a lot. I will say the Spanx leggings are very flattering, I guess, for me, because I am very sensitive to certain fabrics. Like I don't like wearing them for a long time. Like they, to me, get uncomfortable. So that's my only like drawback with them.
Yeah. I'm a Lululemon girl for sure. Aligned legging, best thing I've ever purchased. Aligned tank tops, best thing. And I mean, I know there's a lot of people who probably listen to this or, you know, where Lululemon would agree with me. But as far as things go, I think the cool thing about this CEO who and founder of the company, she actually was on Shark Tank. She came to Shark Tank with the idea of Spanx and they turned her down. And she decided, there's a podcast. Good for her. And documentary on her that she was speaking about the company and whatnot. And she came out and they have briefs, Spanx briefs, and they are just perfect. And I think people should really look into it.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think Spanx overall is good. We literally have less than a minute on this stupid countdown. And I know that you have to go. We have to kind of end this on an abrupt note, but I do would love to have you back on, especially if Adam wants to join, we can figure out an episode, but just glad we were able to have this one. And like I said, you're just such a natural when it comes to speaking in general. And I am really glad we had this episode. It was so much fun. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me and happy new year to everyone listening.
Yes. We hope everyone has a great new year and we will be back.